Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 347 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Now what?
How's things, mate?
Yeah, not bad. You?
Yeah, all good. I mean, Friday night football's amazing when you win.
Just evening football, generally.
Yeah,
it's going well.
Under the lights at Ellen Road appears to be a bit of a cheat code. You know, just in time for it to let us down at the end of the season when it'll really matter. Because that's the immediate thoughts of a Leeds fan. But what was it? Leeds at Ellen Road in nighttime kickoffs under Daniel Farke, 19 wins, 3 draws.
Yeah.
I mean, that is... I know that 2 years of that is championship where we were the best team in the league. But still.
Yeah. Really makes you wish that Burnley game would have been a midweek evening game at Ellen Road.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, Brentford is now late. I think Sunderland's late as well. So, unfortunately, I think one of them is Man City, which might be a bit of a test for the record.
We'll see what happens.
But who was not a test for that record were Nottingham Forest. Leeds 3, Forest 1. And to be honest, it was won by, the 50th minute?
Yeah, it was a much less tense game than I think we all thought it was going to be. Like, the atmosphere was good from the off. It just all went fine.
Yeah,
I don't really know what else to say about it early on.
No, I mean, when we did basically, Farker's press conference got delayed, didn't it? So we ended up doing the pod like an hour before. And it turned out that the rumour about Stark was true and he is out injured. So in came Okafor and we went to the more 3-4-3 type of setup. And I said on the podcast, I just wouldn't go with Grewe Van Dampadu. It's a bit too negative. I reckon 95% of the fan base said the same thing, and Ilya Gruev had one of his best games for Leeds United.
Yeah, he was absolutely fantastic, and for a point where I thought he was going to be stretchered off the pitch as well, but no, he kept on going. Seemed to have got the sort of a bit of a cut somewhere as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen it back, but apparently it was Calvert-Lewin's boot in that goal match bundle after the corner, caught him in the face.
Yeah, that's good that the referee didn't stop play, though.
Yeah. I mean, as it came to nothing, no one got that annoyed, but he did let them have two separate attacks while Gruen was down. With, admittedly, not a concussive head injury, but it is a head injury if your head's bleeding. Like, he probably should have stopped. We'll get their stuff out of the way. Leeds pretty much just looked the better side throughout until like the last 15 minutes where we dropped off. Forest did have a little bit of threat on the counter-attack. Obviously, we've got some pacey players. But the only time they actually looked where there was any real fear was that good Darlow save from Dominguez at 0-0, which was a good save. And I was very pleased that Cal Darlow had a pretty good game here. Because not only did he need it, I think the fans needed it. It didn't matter which goalkeeper it was, the fans needed a goalkeeper to have a good game.
Yeah, and I think probably across the game he had 4 saves that you would expect him to make, but they are saves that needed making. I think it was one of the, like you say, just a solid performance was all we really needed at this stage.
Yeah,
and I think that's what we got.
Yeah, he was good. And once that sort of 10 minutes at the start where they were pretty decent on the counter was gone, we really, really got on top. I mean, we started on top as well. Like, he ended up having a good game, but for about 12 minutes, Gabriel Goodmanson had about as good a game as you're ever going to see from a fullback. And then he just went to regular levels. We really had them down that side. I didn't feel sorry for them at the time, it was bad management by Dyche to pick a young centre-half for his first ever Premier League start in Zach Abbott and pick him at right-back against Goodmanson and Okafor when they had Luka Netz on the bench to play left-back and they could have just played Olerainen at right-back.
Yeah.
It was poor, that from Dyche, which is good for us. But we got on top. We should have gone 1-0 up before we did. Justin put in a corner, headed back out to him, and then his second ball in was a belting ball. And Calvert-Lewin hit the bar with a header that, like, I mean, he's a 6'4" centre forward and he's got a free run at it. He should score. And arguably, Okafor should do better with rebound as well, and he skies it.
Yeah. It's for me, with the header, I can sort of live with it a bit more. I feel like there's a bit more room for error there. Okafor, it seems to fall to him at a comfortable height. He just needs to get over the top of it.
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, he should have done. He chests it down, and I think he's just chested it sort of half a yard behind where he meant to. So he's sort of a bit out of shape on his body when he swings his left foot, but he probably should have done better with it. And as I said, Calvert-Lewin, you could tell by his reaction after he did it, he definitely thought he should have scored. But yeah, luckily, it didn't cost us at all, but it didn't even take long. A goal that I don't think I've seen Leeds score since back end of last... Was it Stoke when Ramazani basically scored this goal? Gluev coming forward into the middle and putting a ball over the top. Really well judged. The run off the right-hand side across the defenders, timed well. Gets in behind. He's so far in behind that from where we were, we thought, well, is he offside? Because he's miles clear. But he just lets it run across his body and passes it into the bottom corner with his left foot. Really good finish from Bogle. I mean, he obviously picked up a few goals last season. I didn't realise, but even in that, like, poor Sheffield United side that got relegated, he got 5 that season. He's a real threat, and with this formation, it gives him a bit more freedom.
Yeah, it's such a good run. He just peels away off the fullback, and his run... essentially, it's the fullback switching off. Is it...
I would argue the centre-half as well. Yeah, I would argue the centre-half does as well. They both just let him go.
Yeah, and he just makes that run in behind them. And Gruev, with excellent awareness of the run, the sort of pass your dad would absolutely love.
I don't know. It was a bit cultured.
A long ball over the top.
That didn't go anywhere near Calvert-Lewin's head, so I'm not sure.
And yeah, like you say, he's just got the time to let it bounce and just passes it in.
I mean, I think he lets it bounce like 3 times and lets it run all the way across his body. Like, it's bad defending. If I'm being hypercritical, I think Ortega should probably get off his line quicker as well. Like,
I think he's just gobsmacked that the right back's there.
Yeah, if this goal was the other way around, I'd be furious. It's a very good pass and it's a very good run, but it's abysmal defending.
Oh, yeah. And like you said, I think the reaction was just, well, he's in so much space there, he can't be onside. But
that is what I thought in the ground, genuinely. I couldn't bring myself to do, like, to fully celebrate until basically they kicked off.
Yeah.
Because I was just waiting for, well, the car defended it that badly. It must have been off, or at least, but it wasn't even close.
No, I was looking around, the linesman wasn't doing anything. None of their players appealed for anything. As they were going back, I was like, well, there's going to be a check because there's got to be a check. And then, yeah, like you say, they just kicked off. And you're like, oh.
Yeah. The check.
And there was a little cheer around us when they kicked off. I said, she's going, oh, good. Yeah. 1-0. Yeah. Lovely.
There was a bit of, oh, cool. It does count, which is why VAR is shit. And when you get a goal like that, you know, good goal, gets in a good position, and you're just wondering what the reaction's going to be from Forrest, and there just straight up wasn't one. It's like 4 or 5 minutes later, Leeds had so much of the ball in this first half as well. Just all the way through, and Justin, who was excellent again. I when it's against a team that isn't, like, outstanding, I really like him in this right centre-back role. It gives you that extra bit going forward. And he plays a good 1-2 with Aronson. The pass back to him from Aronson is actually really good. I didn't realise quite how good it was in real time. he just backs away from the ball, and the way he moves his body, he opens up a load of space. Plays it through. Justin, good shot, saved. But the best part is, comes back to him, really good awareness. Because it'd have been so easy to just throw his foot at it again and have a shot. But instead, knocks it square, Okafor, open goal.
Yeah, I think, like I say, a lot of credit goes to Brendan Aaronson there, because he just holds it for that extra second and opens up. And he just sort of slides it with the outside of his foot in behind the defender for Justin to run onto.
Yeah. As in real time in the ground, I thought, oh, it's a good one too. It was when I watched it back, I thought, oh, no, that was actually really good from Aaronson.
Yeah. And then, yeah, when the rebound comes back to him, just calmly squares it across. And nice, easy finish for Noah Okafor.
I was really pleased for Okafor. He looked like it celebrated in the ground, but when you see it back on telly, that he needed that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had the conversation with your dad before about this system isn't really designed with Noah Okafor in mind. Whereas I think in the summer he would have been considered a marquee signing, and you'd have kind of been building that team around him. And obviously since the change in setup, the periods where Brendan Aaronson's getting preferred to him as a second striker. So it was nice to see, because I think he was very positive kind of from the get-go. Loved a slide tackle as well, was chucking himself into a few tackles, which was quite nice to see.
I really do think that's what got him going. He made a couple of, he tracked back on the left side and made a couple of really big tackles, and the crowd really reacted. And I think that really helped fire him up and really get him going in this game. Because is it his best game in the league shirt? I think it probably is.
I think so, yeah. The other one I'm trying to think of the other games you take into consideration, but it's probably Wolves.
Yeah, like he was good at Wolves, but like Wolves were, that isn't even Wolves now, who are still a poor side in this league, but have got something about them. This was Wolves. If they don't make a change, they're getting 6 points.
Yeah. So yeah, like you say, I think he really needed it. I'm just watching the replay there, actually, when Justin goes for the pullback. Calvert-Lewin sticks out a leg to try and get a foot on it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those where you're looking at, oh, thank God he didn't touch that. Like, yeah. The striker's instinct in him is like, no, I'll get this. I'll turn, I'll put it in. It'll be fine. You're like, no, just leave it, Dom. Just leave it.
Yeah.
And he did. Sort of.
Yeah. And to be honest, given how much Forest were really offering, to the neutral, that was probably the game done. Obviously, we've seen Leeds enough to know that we can't feel like that. Dyche, another thing where I think this is bad management. I mean, we, as soon as it got to half time, we were talking about all the changes they'll probably make, and they're definitely going to bring on one of the more attacking wingers, whether it's Ndoye or Hutchinson. They're going to have to go into that. And no changes. Very just weird decision making. And it doesn't take long at all. You can tell then, it's what, 4 minutes into the second half. Ball comes to Gruev on edge at box. And Gruev has a week. He takes like 4 touches on the edge of the box. And I'll be honest, I think it was a shot. I think it was a bad shot that Calvert-Lewin makes a very good run for. And this is like the level of confidence at the minute. That's such a good finish from Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, I mean a diving chest into the bottom corner.
Yeah.
Like you say, I think Gruev is absolutely lining up a shot there into the far corner.
And I mean, you'd have to, if they give you that long, you've got to have a shot, really.
I don't know. He is a centre mid that plays for Leeds, so I'm not entirely sure about that. But I mean, at that point, I didn't blame him for having to go. Watching it, it's not got a cat and hill's chance of going in.
Oh, no, it's a terrible effort. But we can just choose to believe it was a really good cross.
Yeah. perfectly weighted ball, maybe a touch a touch lower than Calvert-Lewin would have liked it, but no, he's able to Superman himself into the ball and make it 3-0 with a wonderful chest.
Yeah, it's good to for him to get another one. That's 10 goals for Calvert-Lewin in the league, which already puts him higher than anyone I thought Leeds were going to... Because I had... And he's only 9 away. I had Nonto with 9 for the top scorer in the league. Yeah, I actually can't remember if it's just league goals.
I think it was.
I think it was just league.
I'm saying this now without remembering at all what I put for any of these. But you were very optimistic about how much Willie Nonto was going to play this season.
I thought that he was going to play a fair bit. I mean, we hadn't signed Okafor yet, had we?
Was he there that... Did he come in just... We came in after we played AC Milan, didn't he?
Yeah, and not like the day after either. It was a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, nice for Calvert-Lewin. And it's the same thing everyone keeps saying at the moment. For someone on a free transfer, it's an excellent return. With what have we got, 12, 13 games left, whatever it is now.
Yeah.
To get to that sort of those sorts of figures. Yeah, excellent return. And good because he's had a couple of weeks off scoring as well.
Yeah, it was really good for, and that really did ice the game. They did then start to make changes. They brought on Hutchinson for Dominguez, which I can't believe it took that long. And that they then basically did nothing still until like the 67th minute. You've got Ndoye for Hudson-Odoi and Ryan Yates for Morgan Gibbs-White, which when they brought Yates on for Gibbs-White, everyone in the ground was sort of saying, that's him giving up. That's him resting players for midweek. And this is the one, my little nitpick with the day. Yeah, that was enough time to rest players. So why we didn't?
Yeah, while we were making the two single substitutions.
Yeah. It's almost like he forgot that was a rule. But like I'm baffled that Calvert-Lewin played 90 minutes in this game. Well, 100 minutes, basically, all in. I found that to be a very strange decision. Even though it turned out to just be a facial laceration, like when Gruev was down injured for 5 minutes, I'm amazed that we didn't take off, you know, Gruev for Longstaff. You know, Metcher was fit, which surprised everyone. Him for Calvert-Lewin. Give them both 20 minutes rest ahead of Chelsea game. But that is a nitpick. You know, we kept it very comfortable. And then, the last 15 minutes they got on top, but I think we sort of let them as well.
Yeah, I wasn't mad keen on the way the subs were done, but I think the main thing at this point was it really nice to have Dan James come on and get a run out for 15, 16, well, probably closer to 20 minutes.
Yeah, I thought he looked very lively. I mean, his first 5 minutes, he put got to byline twice and put two really good balls in.
Yeah. I think an excellent option for us to have again now. I think unless something drastically changes, I don't see it not being Brendan Aaronson starting for the rest of the season. I think that's pretty much nailed on at this point. But 20 minutes to go to be able to put someone like Dan James on, I think, puts us in a very good position.
Yeah, I was pleased to see Dan James and he did well. The other subs were Longstaff for Okafor and then in the 96th minute, Bornau for Bogle. The most interesting thing about the subs is who wasn't there. Facundo Buonanotte wasn't named on the bench just due to selection.
Yep.
I found that to be I can understand it if he thinks James ahead, that's fine. He wasn't expecting Metcher back. I really think once Metch is on the bench, you could argue Buonanotte is more useful to have on there than Pirou at the minute. But that's sort of a, that's not something I'm going to be up in arms about. I just, I found it, I was very surprised.
It's good to know that Willy Nonto is ahead of him in the pecking order, though, at least. Like, because it could have been Nonto off the bench for
one. Yeah, I would have. I would have actually lost my leg a bit.
It's going to be one of those where it just, it seems like such a strange deal. Like, ultimately, we're not going to end up buying him on a permanent deal, I can't imagine.
No, I don't. Like, we haven't even negotiated an option, have we? It's just a loan.
Yeah. I could only imagine he must have been thrilled leaving Chelsea. Like, oh, yeah, you know, might actually get to play some football. No.
Yeah, I do still think he's... I rate him highly enough that I think he genuinely could end up playing his way into the team. But the odds, I believe the term is drastic, go down. Reference for four people. they did get one late on. Amari Hutchinson cutting inside on the right. Maybe giving a bit too much space, but nothing really. And good ball in. Lorenzo Luca makes a good run. I think he gets between sort of... He gets like between Strouk and Roden and heads in from about 5 yards out. It's not great defending, but I don't think anyone's particularly to blame. I think it was a good ball in. And Lorenzo Luca being like 6'7" is quite hard to defend him, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much just a textbook looping ball into the box. And Luca just gets up above Joe Roden and heads in. It was a bit disappointing because it would have been quite nice to have kept the clean sheet by that point in the game. But at that point, I wasn't concerned about it. I think when they had a chance or two in stoppage time, there was part of me like, oh, God, nothing stupid now. Come on.
Yeah, the good thing was that by the other decent save that the false start of Darlow at the end from, I think it was Sangare from the edge of the box, that was in like the 98th minute.
Yeah.
So sort of we'd calmed down a bit by then. But no, it's a really good win. You know, 29 points from 25. Unfortunately, it didn't extend the lead, but we knew it wouldn't because we knew West Ham were going to win at Burnley. I've thought nothing of it, you know, had money on West Ham as any sensible Leeds fan should have. But then I did see the highlights back. And to be honest, it looked like Burnley had plenty of this game.
I haven't watched this game. Yeah, so.
Like, well, they had plenty of the game, but they did nothing with it. Like the XG, Burnley 1.28, West Ham 1.02. But West Ham only had 6 shots. Burnley had 18. It was just like Burnley didn't create anything good.
Yeah.
Whereas West Ham created a couple of really good chances early and took them both. Five goals, 5 games in a row now, Somerville scored. Do you mind not?
Yeah, Jazz. He's really hit form as Crescencio Somerville.
If he keeps scoring like this, I might have to resign as chairman of the fan club.
Yeah, I suppose if you are the more positively inclined among us, we are level on points now with Spurs and 2 points behind Brighton.
Yeah, and I mean that's two points behind. But did you see any of Brighton and Palace yesterday?
No, I didn't.
It really was not much of a game. But Brighton were like really toothless. It's the reason why they're not going to be as bad as I ended up saying, but it's why I went from the bottom of that handicap league in the predictions. They just looked so toothless up front. Like, basically, when Welbeck isn't there, and he's not exactly clinical striker, he's really good back to goal striker. But with him having Georgie didn't have his best day, and that sort of halted up all their creativity. And they were singing Sacked in the Morning at Herzl. Yeah, like, the Palace fans started singing it and the Brighton fans joined in. So
it's a weird one with Palace because with Brighton, they seem like the team. I have Bournemouth in a similar position where they have the ability to go four games and not win one, and they also seem to have the ability to win five in a row at times and just which is why I think you've seen both of them sort of drop down to not being that far off us.
Yeah.
Bournemouth have pulled away. They're 11th and it's only 5 points. But the thing is, in that middle pack, if you win two out of four, you'll jump up a few places.
Yeah, the reason I'm sure Brighton will be absolutely fine is because their defence is good. They don't concede many. And that's enough to... They've got too many good players to not end up winning several games. They'll end up on 45, 46 points and be fine. The Spurs fans are genuinely scared.
I'm saying now, as an outsider to Spurs, what would possess you to make Christian Romero your captain exactly?
He's...
As someone who, since day one, has always had a red card in him...
He's had six for Spurs now, I believe.
Six for Spurs. It's his second straight red this year, this season, so it's a four-game ban.
Yeah.
Absolute madness.
Yeah. They got well beat, but I think they'd have got well beat with 11 men, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, the other, probably the downside, because I know you were kind of predicting that Man United might absolutely tear them apart.
I didn't touch it for a bet, but if I was gonna, I'd have been backing them -2 or something. I really thought they were gonna hammer them.
Yeah, you don't know in situations like that, though, if where a team goes down to 10 and they, especially away from home, whether they're just gonna put more behind it and just. We will try to be difficult to beat or to break down, which always makes it a little bit harder. But on a talent basis, they should be fine. But I'm amazed it's gone this far with Frank at this point.
Yeah. The only other ones down there that we haven't mentioned, obviously. Burnley got beat by West Ham. They're now 11 points from safety.
Yeah.
And they're 8 points behind West Ham. You'd have to think that. And obviously, Wolves are dead. This week, we'll come on to Leeds game in a minute. There is a couple of big ones. We're in the awful, horrible situation. Cheering for those brave United boys down at the London Stadium. Yeah, West Ham
don't like Scum. It.
Nah, I hope Scum win 5-0. There's no way around it.
Yeah, I mean, who knows playing Chelsea at this point now? Again, on a sheer talent basis, they should win this one. But
yeah, 1-4 on bounce going into it.
Yeah, but I mean the West Ham game against them. Sort of shows that you can get it, and obviously our result against them, but West Ham were 2-0 up against them.
And from people who watched the full game, it was as much West Ham sort of going into the shell and playing within themselves and just trying to defend that let Chelsea back into it.
So, you know, the hope is that we can dig something out. A point would be brilliant from this. I'm not holding out much hope, but again, you just hope we finish this midweek with the 6-point gap still intact.
Yeah, then, I mean that's why you just Scum could win.
Yeah, and then you're just 12 games from there.
It's
slow and painful.
Yeah, the other quote-unquote relegation battles, I still don't think Spurs are in it, but the level wheels, so we have to say them. they're at home to Newcastle. I think Newcastle have lost the last three as well, and they've been pretty shy. Palace, Burnley.
Again, I've not got a lot of faith in Burnley to do
that. I think Palace are good enough that they'll be fine, and Burnley are gone. And then Nottingham Forest are at home to Wolves on the Wednesday. So if Wolves could decide to do something, that'd be great.
If they would like to win a second game this season.
Yeah. I mean, this is true based on what you say online. Forest are shitting themselves. Yep, fair. I would be, if I was in their shoes and seeing us pick up points, but it's mostly seeing what West Ham are doing at the minute. That'll be terrifying everyone. We obviously Chelsea away is going to be a really tough game for us, but we did beat them at home and fairly well beat them at home.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we did say it appears Farker has Maresca's number. I can't remember. I mean, I think that we probably did have a decent record against Rosinia's Hull, because that's the year that we got beat in the playoff final, isn't it?
Yeah.
We beat them at home for certain. It was 3-1. Because Dan James scores from his own half with like just about the last kick of the game.
Yeah. I do remember that.
I cannot remember what we did away.
Let's have a look, see if we can find that one.
Obviously, we drew 3-3 in the promotion season.
0-0 at Hull.
Cool. That'll be a reason why I have no memory of that game.
And then, yeah, like you say, the...
Was it 3-1?
Where is it here?
Yeah, it could three, be. Yeah.
3-1, Sam Byram, Crescencio Somerville, Dan James.
Oh, that's Byram's... is that Byram's scissor kick volley?
I think so, yeah.
Where he's back at, yeah.
And Fabio Carvalho scored against us.
Yeah. Well, that was the whole team that had good... Like, that team, does it have, like, Liam Delap up front and...
It'll be... I'm intrigued by this now, so I want to see if we can
get... I think they had that Jacob Greaves at centre-back who went to Ipswich for quite a lot of money.
The whole team... Allsop, Slater, Coyle, Jones, Giles, Amur... Morton, Seri, Philogene, Fabio Carvalho, Ozan Tufan.
So it wasn't him.
It was just a good front three.
Yeah, although, I mean, Tyler Morton went to Lyon for 16 million quid and has been and he's really looked great in Ligue 1. I wanted us to sign him because he ended up last season back playing in the 21s at Liverpool because they couldn't sort a loan out. And it was just one of the most ridiculous waste of talent you'll ever see. Like, I would expect him to get an England cap at some point. He's a really good player. But Chelsea have picked up a lot now. They didn't win, like, the first 3 or 4 under Rosinia, but it was, like, draws with Man City and stuff. They were decent results. And then, yeah, they've won the last 4. They're up to 5th. They don't seem to mess about with the back three anymore, which they have done before. It's 4-2-3-1, usually. And Cole Palmer's decided to go back to being himself again. I know that there was 2 penalties, but a first half hat trick.
Yeah, it's a good player, isn't it?
Yeah, they've got just their squad's absolutely insane. Other than goalkeeper, where I don't think they're great, every other position, they've got 2 cracking players for each position.
Yeah.
Some of them like 3.
It's a miracle PSR wasn't able to stop this happening somehow. But, you look at that team and just think there's Buonanotte in their list on Google. But, yeah, I won't say it's a well-assembled team, but to say you've done it well would mean there was some sort of strategy to it.
There is a strategy by young players. That is...
expensive young players. Give them 9-year contracts.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything of like their press conference about, so I don't know if there's some injuries that I don't know about. So they've still got all the ones who've been out for ages, like Colwell and Levia and Tosin Mudrick still banned. Did Reece James play the last game? No.
By the way, when you refer to Mudrick's ban, which one are we talking about? Is banned from Counter-Strike, is driving ban, or is football ban?
Yeah, I did see the Counter-Strike thing. And it's impossible to look at a Chelsea player and even worry about driving offences because Wesley Fofana's there and he has all of the driving offences.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen that?
No.
Right. How many penalty points does Wesley Fofana have on his driving licence, Casey?
Oh, God. Bearing in mind, you know, 12 and you're done. So I'm going to assume it's higher than 12. Let's go 18.
I believe, and I am just trying to find if there's something that can back this up, but I believe it's 50. He has been done for dangerous driving like so many times. It's not just like, you know, flying up the hard shoulder. I've found an article. It's 47 is his current number of penalty points.
What happens when you've just got that much money, you're just going to keep driving anyway.
Yeah, that is basically what it is. It is one of them where, you know, no one should really... I mean, these have been genuinely dangerous things. Like, he should be in jail now.
But oh, yeah.
For some reason... I mean, like, he is
because he could afford a barrister, he won't go to jail.
Yeah, he's a prick anyway. Yeah, but he is, however, a very good centre half, and he's probably going to play in this. It was Fofana and Chalobah last time out, so that'll probably stay the same because they, even though they did concede a goal, a few of them are injured. I mean, they could bring in Badiashile or Hato, maybe Sarr. They've got a few. Cucurella pretty much always plays. Gusto played the last one, so if he's fit, this one will be Reece James. I would rather it was Gusto, because even though he's really quick, like, Reece James is an unbelievable player. It depends how attacking they want to be. Like, they'll pick Caicedo as one of the two holding mids. Last time they picked Andres Santos alongside him and played Enzo Fernandez at 10. And he's been doing really well playing further forward, so that's the thing that I'd probably be a bit more worried about, in a sense. But they might pick Caicedo and Fernandez and then let someone go a bit more attacking going forward. Like, I think at Elland Road, they picked Liam Delap, didn't they? And he didn't do very well.
Yeah. And then they brought on... Because Cole Palmer was still coming back from the injury at that point as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's nailed on to start on this. It'll just probably
probably
off the right with Neto off the left, probably.
Yeah. Was it Estevao who...
Yeah, Estevao got bullied, didn't he, by Goodmanson?
Yeah, that was funny.
That I'd probably go for if I were them is I'd probably play Garnacho in this if I was them, because we tend to leave a little bit too much space on edge of box and he loves a shot from like 20 yards.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he'll do that. They may well, if they play Fernandez deeper with Caicedo and then have Neto and Garnacho on the wings, Palmer play as the actual number 10 behind João Pedro.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a hell of a side. That Josh Achempong's a really good player. Obviously, Estevao could come in. Delap can play up front. There's that Matt Guyou, who's he's third of three in terms of the strikers, but he's not bad. Have we got any really good players that I'm forgetting? I mean, Tyreek George has just gone to Everton, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's all of them. The one thing I would be saying at these is try and get your shots away, because Robert Sanchez is not a great goalkeeper.
No, it's he's one that's probably worth testing out. Like I say, I just hope we keep it tight. The inverse of sort of the opposite of Arsenal. Like, I don't think they're a massive set piece threat, but they just have a lot of quality, and in open play, they should be able to create chances.
Yeah, and I don't think that they're bad at set pieces. They're just not as focused on them.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm not expecting a whole lot. Like I said, my hope is more that the red lot win, then we don't have to worry about our game so much.
Yeah, it would help. I mean, we're the half seven kickoff and they're quarter past eight.
Yeah.
So we'll get an idea of how they're going. As for Leeds, Calvert-Lewin's been a bit ill, but should be fine, apparently. And Gruev should be fit as well. However, Stack's definitely out for a bit, and Pascal Strouk is out.
Oof.
So, the questions are, one, does he do the two big lads because it worked against Chelsea last time?
Yeah, I can see that.
Apologies if there's some background noise, by the way. The school has just let out behind me.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Beal was back on the bench, wasn't he? So, yeah. You do have that option.
The question on that, and I just assumed it'll be James Justin left centre-back. There is some people who watched a lot more of him than me in France, saying for like the way that the passing angles work and things like that, that you might be better off with Justin at left wing back and Goodmanson playing left centre back. Hmm. And he did play left of the three a fair bit, but I don't see that happening. I think he'll want Goodmanson wide.
Yeah, I think so. Do you think Justin to left centre back, Beal and Roden as the right centre back?
Yeah, that's what I think it'll be. It'll still definitely be Gruev and Ampadu. It's just whether that's... I think it's Gruev. It's probably just the same. Gruev, Ampadu, Aronson, Okafor, Calvert-Lewin. There is an argument, even though Okafor played really well, for playing Metcha, having Aronson be a bit more disciplined, play a bit deeper, and go two big lads. They really struggled to deal with it at Elland Road.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I think that's the last time I really remember it. Did we do it against Liverpool?
We haven't really started like that very often at all.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I don't see it happening again. I feel like they're playing 4-2-3-1. I think he sticks 3-4-3.
Yeah, I do as well. I think that basically Beal for Strouk will be the only change.
Yeah, I think so. Like I say, it would be nice. I think it would be nice to have Metcha start as well, but whether he thinks he's fit enough to start, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the other thing as well. Although he did go out of his way in the press conference to talk about how sharp he looked in training, and that's why he got onto the bench.
Yeah, it's just his dress sense.
Yeah, obviously. Well, every girl crazy about a sharp dressed man. In terms of the bench, you would think that we're losing a defender, but we haven't really got any defenders to bring. Will he bring Byron onto the bench, or will he bring Vananotte onto the bench?
I'm assuming Vananotte is not allowed.
Well, he's on loan from Brighton.
Oh, it's Brighton, isn't it? Yeah, sorry. Chuck him on then. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, technically, you're not actually allowed to do these deals, but they could have said, we'll only break this loan if he can't play against us.
A gentleman's agreement, yeah. If you will. it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, well,
Bornell's there, and that's defence covered, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, when you look at us defensively, like, if we've got Strouk missing, do you think he'll just think, I need Byron?
Quite possibly. What's the more negative option he can pick?
Yeah, true.
Because that's probably where he's leaning.
Yeah. I think he'll probably be okay because Bornau is there.
Mm.
He should be fine with Vananotto because, like, Bornau's there. And if you need sort of... Bornau can play wing-back if required. He can play the centre-back if required. If you need... You've got Justin and Goodmanson, so that can both cover the left if needed. And if you're chasing a game, it'd probably be Dan James anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Vananotte will just about sneak on the bench. I haven't had everyone's predictions yet. I have little Danny and Alex, who have both gone for us to lose 3-1. I have us losing 2-0.
I'm going to say 1-1 draw.
Oh, that'd be nice. I mean, Connie will go for us to win, probably. We'll see what Benny does. Points-wise, just to check that I've got this right. Yeah, Alex currently leads on 44, little Danny on 40, me 34, you 30, Connie 24, Benny 22. So currently, Benny is likely to owe us some beer.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get two scores right. And you'd fly up. Obviously, there's a lot of them are scary. Who's the most scary?
If Cole Palmer gets going, it's just so difficult to play against. Mark Cucurella, just with the evil footballing spirits that he brings with him. Adama Traore threw him into next week, but
well, Brendan Aronson can do that. Very similar builds.
I'd love to see Brendan Aronson get that angry. It's so tough just looking at that team when you just look at the sheer quality there. In terms of, like, you just look at that sort of front four that they used against Wolves of Palmer, Fernandez, Neto and Pedro. It's a lot of talent there.
Yeah. When that's your front four and then backing them up, you've got like Garnacho, Estevao. I know Liam Delap hasn't pulled many trees this season, but he is a good footballer.
But he is big.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, their ability through midfield is what worries me. So I think basically Ampadu and Gruev both have to have outstanding games if we're to have any sort of shot.
Well, I mean, they are calling him the Bulgarian Caicedo, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's probably more accurate than what Farker said, which was, did he say he's a mix of Hristo Stoichkov and Lothar Matthäus? Like, he's not in any way either of those things. As in Lothar Matthäus, because he's played only mid when he wasn't played centre back, and Hristo Stoichkov because he's Bulgarian.
Certainly Stoichkov is not a comparison I've ever met. If I had, it would be a lazy comparison.
It would be. I could think of one Bulgarian right now.
Radostin Kishishev is right there. Like, that's your option. Now, I think he might actually be better than Kishishev at this point. But
well, I mean, Kishishev was excellent in that loan spell, but that was relegation to League One, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So,
and we don't speak about the League One loan. That's fine.
Didn't go as well.
No.
Says a lot that that's a loan that didn't go as well as getting relegated from the Championship. Obviously, we're going to be way up against it, but I do think the big difference between Chelsea and Arsenal, other than Arsenal are just a better team, more settled and stuff. When we tried to get really physical with Arsenal, they just stood up to it and they're just as big, if not bigger in some positions, and can just bully you back. I don't think Chelsea can quite do that. Some of them can, like obviously Caicedo can, because he's fucking phenomenal. Despite not being that big, he is just a brick shit house and both brilliant on the ball and also tough as nails. If you do get right into him, Caicedo's got a reaction in him, Cucurella's got a reaction in him, Enzo Fernandez has a reaction in him. You might be able to wind him up.
I mean, just going through here, I mean, I know it's probably a bit further back now, but they did have that period where they picked up a few red cards.
Yeah, and that happened for a while, but it was ridiculous, wasn't it, the amount they had sent off in the first half of the season.
So, like you say, they can be wound up a bit. But yeah, I'd snap your hand off for a point.
Oh, absolutely. A point would be a phenomenal result. I mean, any away point, any away point other than at Wolves is a good result. And
we've already won there, so it's fine.
Yeah. And this is really high up on the list. So yeah, ideally we win, everyone else loses, but if we could get anything, brilliant. If everyone else could lose, in a way, better.
Yeah.
Like, if we keep the same gap, I'll do better. Cool. So that'll do us for episode 347 of My Works Podcast. We'll be back one of the days this week because it's the FA Cup this weekend.
FA Cup action's back, baby.
On Sunday. Unlike the last FA Cup game, I will actually get to see this, but I am working, so I won't be paying that close attention because I didn't book off work for it. But yeah, we'll cross that bridge later in the week. So I've been Jack, see ya.
I'm Casey, have a good one.
In a bit.